Well, here we are continuing on in our sort of conversational exposition of Exodus chapters 21, 22, and 23. We come to verse 22 of Exodus chapter 21, having to do with laws of retribution. So where are we at? Who's going to read the text here?
I'll get in there. If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as a woman's husband imposes on him. And he shall pay as the judge is determined. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe.
Okay, here we are in these laws that, again, remember, instructions for the judges of Israel. Mm-hmm. So it gives a hypothetical case, and in this hypothetical case, two men are fighting. You know, we picture in our mind, you know, sort of the barroom brawl, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing, two men are fighting. And in the midst, you know, maybe one of the men's wife, she's pregnant, and she gets between the two men. Oh, don't hurt my husband, you know, that kind of thing. And she gets knocked across the room or whatever. And just, you can picture this happening in a movie. You know, she mm-hmm. falls down in a heap, and she gives birth. Now, there's two situations here. One is she gives birth, and no harm follows. What was supposed to happen in that situation? If no harm followed.
So I always get those. Shall surely. It's like a tongue twister.
Okay, you can get it here.
He shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him. So it seems like whatever the you know,
some
whatever
penalty,
the result is.
Yeah.
But it's up to the husband.
Yeah, you'd almost think that maybe there's a fine involved. Yeah. You know, okay, yeah. My wife got knocked around, the baby was born, but everybody's okay. But what you did was not cool.
Yeah. Right.
So it needs to be compensated or something. I mean, they wouldn't throw a guy in jail. They didn't have a system like that. So maybe, you know, you got to give him two goats or, you know, I don't know, whatever.
Your supply of diapers.
Yeah, that would be
that
a great
would
one.
Be awesome.
That
yeah.
would be awesome. Yeah. There you go. Okay, so some, now that's if no harm followed. But what if some harm followed? And it doesn't specify what kind of harm.
Yeah.
Harm to the child, harm to the mother who just gave birth. But just on principle here, because this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the case law of Israel. On principle, if harm follows, then what should follow after that?
Well, then there should be an equal retribution, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand. And so I guess the question is, are these like actual, you know, the baby's born without an eye? You got to poke out the other guy's eye?
Well, perhaps, but let's you know, consider this. There would be some kind of thing. Where it really gets down to here is life for life.
Yeah.
I mean, how would this actually work in ancient Israel? Let's say the baby was stillborn because of this. And do they execute the guy? Well, not necessarily. You see, it allows in the Mosaic law a substitute ransom payment for the loss of life that was not willful and premeditated murder. In this hypothetical situation that's being spelled out here, nobody thinks for a minute that the two men in the fight, that one of them intended to permanently injure or even kill the mother or the child that was born or not born, whatever. But you see, here's the idea, is that in ancient Israel, there was a system set up where if the life was lost, or presumably lesser forms of injury as well, then a penalty could be implied and a ransom paid. Numbers chapter 35, verse 31 says this. Moreover, you shall take no ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. You see, that implies that you could take ransom for someone who wasn't a murderer. Let's say under the case of manslaughter, ransom money could be paid. And the way I envision this is not, I don't think it worked in ancient Israel like this, that, you know, the child lost the eye, okay, I'm going to poke out your eye.
Right.
The child is dead, okay, I'm going to kill you. No, there was a value assigned. What was it worth to lose an eye? That's what you have to pay. Wow. What is it worth to lose the life? That's what you have to pay. And graduated down, and it was this kind of sense of recompense. But what did this guard against?
Well, an unlimited retribution. I mean, there is a limit to what is paid by the person who has offended or hurt or whatever to the other person. I mean, it guards against them blowing it out of proportion. If they hurt your eye, you don't take their life. It's a limit to what
is. You see, this is the tendency almost universally in men.
Yeah.
Okay, you knock out my tooth, I'm going to take out your tooth and your eye.
Mm-hmm.
You, through some accident, you kill my child, I want to kill your whole family.
Yeah.
God says, no. No, it has to be proportional. It has to be right. It has to be just. Mm-hmm. You can't just vent your retribution and your anger. It has to be proportionate to what was lost in the whole case. Mm-hmm.
And so, Dave, I mean, we think about this again in today's culture. It would seem that this is completely lost. You know, you hear so many of these lawsuits. I got a cup of coffee from McDonald's, and it was really hot. And I took a little sip, and I burned my tongue. I want $50 million.
That kind of thing. You know, you're not a lawyer, of course, speaking about this. But that kind of thing, we hear about it happening all the
time.
You know, and you know, these crazy awards, and people approach the legal system as if it was like a lottery to win. I think we got to say, God says, no, that's wrong. That's unjust. Is it right for a person to be appropriately compensated for some? Absolutely. That's justice.
Yeah.
And that's what God is all for. But this idea of perceiving the legal system to be as a lottery, no, that's not it.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's go on just to the next couple verses, because here we have this law of retribution. Are we cool with the eye for an eye thing? Do we get that?
Really clear. Mm-hmm. Really clear.
Okay, good. Let's go on to the next couple of verses. David Wally, why don't you read those?
Verse 26 says, if a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant and destroys it, he shall let him go free for the sake of his eye. And if he knocks out the tooth of his male or female servant, he shall let him go free for the sake of his tooth.
Okay, now, among free men, it was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, you know, that kind of thing. If it was between a master and a servant, what's the text telling us that the proportion was?
Greater. Freedom.
Yes.
Would be allotted. Wow.
Okay, so I'm in debtor's obligation. I'm in debt slavery to you for the next 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't you think I'm begging, oh, please knock out my
yes.
tooth. I'll take a tooth
yes.
for the next 6 years. Pretty
yes.
easy. You know, and again, this pretty radical protection of the rights and the dignities of a slave, because it guarded the master from losing the interest that he had in the work value and the production of that slave until the slave's debt was paid. Of course, we're talking about the institution of servitude in ancient Israel,
right.
which was not like the institution of servitude that we see in other cultures, where, you know, this sort of servitude was temporary and usually willingly chosen because
right.
of some trouble you've gotten yourself into.
It also points to the great incentive of the master to take care of the slave.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, I would pad my whole house
yes.
so that nothing would happen.
I'm
yes. baby-proof at all.
You're
so
not going to lose a tooth
no
on my
No way,
watch.
Man.
Yeah.
I
yes.
live in a bubble. So they really, oh, it shows see. That they should value them and protect them and take care of them and not hurt them.
I kind of see a side thing that's relevant to our culture here. I think oftentimes our culture is too interested in making people feel a certain way. These laws don't tell the master how to feel.
Right.
They just incentivize good behavior of the master towards. Now, I think that often if you do the right kind of behavior, incentivized by the commandments of God, you will begin to feel the way you should feel. But I think we don't wait to do good until we feel it. You do what's right, you do what God commands, and then I think often, though maybe not always, but often the feelings come afterwards. It doesn't command the master to feel a certain way.
Right.
But it just incentivizes the good behavior towards the servant of the master.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good. All right, let's we'll wrap this up. No, one more thing, though, here. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. How did Jesus apply this? How did Jesus want us to regard this? Didn't Jesus tell us to go maybe a little bit further? And to really stress this command to love, to give, to have. You see, there's something in the heart of man that wants to give an out-of-proportion retribution.
Right.
Jesus told us to give an out-of-proportion love. Right? If you're compelled to carry the park 1 mile, go two. You know, and that kind of thing.
Ask for your cloak, give him your coat also.
Exactly. In his kingdom, we're to receive this out-of-proportion love. He's given us an out of proportion love, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievably so. You get out of proportion doesn't even begin to describe it. Mm-hmm. But we're to take that, let it infuse our whole life, and then we go live this out of proportion love and grace to other people.
Mm, I like that.
So justice in proportion, love and grace and mercy out of proportion.
Wow, sweet.
All right, we'll drop it off there and then finish up Exodus chapter 21 in our next segment.